Maureen McKinney. Recently, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a major ruling in housing discrimination, while new federal rules were issued on the subject shortly after. Maria Creason is a sociology professor and expert in segregation at the University of Illinois Chicago. Do you have a sense of how the Supreme Court decision on housing and the new federal rules might affect segregation?
So the Supreme Court ruling, the recent Supreme Court ruling, affirms that something called disparate impact is a legitimate grounds for establishing the importance of violations of the Fair Housing Act. So what this means is that statistics and other evidence can be used to determine that discrimination has happened, even if there wasn't an intent to discriminate. And the reason that this is important is that since 1968, when the Federal Fair Housing Act was passed, housing discrimination, of course, was made illegal, but what I think that really did was make discrimination go underground, become less blatant and sort of more disguised. So people and institutions aren't as explicit and blatant as they used to be about ways of keeping certain groups and certain people out of certain neighborhoods. So lots of studies have showed that there are different kinds of discrimination that still occur. So being able to establish this and demonstrate this through the impact as opposed to the intent is really important. I think it's really an important tool. The Supreme Court case is a really important tool to root out discrimination insofar as discrimination is part of one of the causes of segregation. And the HUD ruling is really a tool that focuses more generally on how to tackle racial residential segregation, which persists in many of our nation's cities. In Chicago, it's been persistent. Over time, there have been some small declines, but it's really been persistent. And even in other smaller cities throughout Illinois, there's reasonably high levels of segregation. So beyond enforcing anti-discrimination laws, which is sort of what the Supreme Court case was focused on, this HUD ruling requires communities that receive HUD funding to determine whether there are barriers to integration and whether there are things that they do that perpetuate segregation.
What about smaller cities like Springfield?
Several years ago, I did a study that looked at levels of segregation throughout Illinois, not just in the city, in the metropolitan area of Chicago, and Springfield's segregation, what we call the dissimilarity index, which is essentially a measure of how evenly distributed people are throughout an area, in this case throughout Springfield. It goes from 0 to 100, and anything over 60 is considered highly segregated. Springfield in that measure was a 64, sort of falls into that high level of segregation.
Chicago has been cited as an egregious example of segregation. Can you tell me about that?
Right. So Chicago is, according to the 2010 census, was the fifth most segregated city in the nation, segregated metropolitan area in the nation, behind Detroit, Milwaukee, New York, and Newark, just above Philly, Miami, Cleveland. So it is high, and it has not changed a whole lot since 1980. So from 1980, the segregation score, that same score I was telling you about, went from a high of 88.6, or let's call it 89. It is now down to 76.
What does segregation mean for the people who live it?
So there are all kinds of studies that have been done that illustrate the negative consequences for people, particularly African Americans, in living in segregated neighborhoods as opposed to integrated neighborhoods. There are health consequences. There are social and economic consequences. There is exposure to crime. There's exposure to environmental hazards. There's lack of access to good schools and good shopping and places to get fresh groceries and things like that. So there are all kinds of negative consequences for people of color who live in segregated neighborhoods.